This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Thursday, April 11th, 2013. Yesterday, U.S. District Court Senior Judge Richard P. Mache denied an attempt by Western Energy Alliance to intervene in a lawsuit that could shine a light on the federal oil and gas leasing process, not only in the North Fork, but nationwide. The industry trade group had sought to become a party to the suit filed by the Paonia-based Citizens for a Healthy Community and the Western Environmental Law Center against the Bureau of Land Management. Judge Mache ruled in February that the BLM must reveal who nominated 30,000 acres in the North Fork for gas leases. The BLM has until Monday, April 15th, to release the names or to appeal the district court decision. Oil and gas companies operating in Colorado could soon face stricter reporting requirements when it comes to spills. A bill lowering the reporting threshold passed its first committee on Wednesday. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Energy companies would have to report any spill that's one barrel or 42 gallons or higher. Current law only requires reporting for spills greater than five barrels. Democratic Representative Diane Mitch Bush of Steamboat Springs says some of these smaller spills can still cause significant harm to land, water, and public health.
Most operators are highly responsible. They're innovative. They're creative. They want to do the right thing. However, I have encountered some who are perhaps not as responsible.
In addition to reporting to the state, operators would also have to report a spill to a local emergency manager, who would then contact adjacent landowners and those that could be impacted.
This is an emergency situation. That local emergency manager would then be made aware of what was in the spill material so that he or she could deal effectively with that.
No one testified against the measure, and the Colorado Oil and Gas Association is taking a neutral position. Jim Cole is a spokesman with COGA.
We're okay with this bill. We're fine with this bill. It addresses a more real-life problem in the sense of trying to get the emergency people involved.
The Colorado Petroleum Association's Stan Dempsey says his group is also neutral.
Our members take a very aggressive approach to try to minimize the number of spills and to rectify those circumstances, to do the reporting when it needs to be done. The first job is to clean the situation up first and foremost. And so I think that this bill moves in that direction.
In addition to lowering the reporting threshold, the measure would also make companies report a spill within 24 hours of discovery. Right now, companies have 10 days to file a report. Democratic sponsor Diane Mitch Bush says that's too long of a window.
10 days when you're talking about a spill is a pretty long time. Again, the really good operators will right away be talking to the emergency manager, but we want to make sure that they do.
Democrats on the committee voted in favor of the bill, but Republican Ray Scott of Grand Junction says he doesn't think it's necessary.
I'm questioning the purpose of this bill. I mean, what problem are we fixing? What is it we're missing?
Other Republicans agree that companies already do a good job of reporting spills. Only one Republican on the committee voted for the measure. Governor John Hickenlooper backs the bill. It now heads to the Appropriations Committee. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
And here's the latest on the parachute leak. The Denver Post reports Williams Energy Company officials announced Wednesday that a mechanical failure caused a hydrocarbon spill that has poisoned groundwater and forced a multi-agency scramble to protect Parachute Creek in western Colorado. Williams spokesman Tom Droge said a failed pressure gauge led to a leak that spilled over 10,000 gallons of natural gas liquids from a valve starting on December 20th. Droge said crews have cleaned up almost 6,000 gallons so far. He said the leak was discovered and stopped on January 3rd. However, according to the Post, Colorado environmental overseers weren't so sure. State Natural Resources spokesman Todd Hartman said Williams' scenario, quote, provides a possible explanation of a release. Continuing to quote Hartman, the investigation of the cause or causes of the impacts to soil and groundwater will continue until we can determine whether the release described by Williams accounts for the situation on the ground, end quote. Williams orally notified state regulators on March 8th that work crews found contaminated soil near the company's gas processing plant, which was built along the creek. Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission rules allowed 10 days before Williams had to submit a detailed written report, as we just heard from Benta Berkland. In a prepared statement, Droege said that back on January 3rd, Williams crews discovered and cleaned up natural gas liquids that, at the time, they estimated at less than 42 gallons, low enough that state rules do not require notification of authorities. Hartman said creek water tests 2.5 miles down from Williams' gas plant this week showed, quote, no evidence of impact. Earlier this week, state officials said diesel fuel had been found in a boom laid across the creek for 10 days as the cleanup began around March 15th. The carcinogen benzene has been detected about 1,000 feet away from the valve site. Williams says it is not yet clear whether the benzene is related to the gas liquids released from the broken pressure gauge. Williams says it continues to work under the supervision of regulatory agencies to protect Parachute. The company continues to clean up additional hydrocarbon liquids found in soil and groundwater. They have established a website to keep the public informed in a timely manner, they say. And that website is answersforparachute.com. The Denver Post reports that more than half of Colorado's sheriffs are considering a legal challenge to the state's recently passed gun restrictions. 37 of the state's 62 elected sheriffs are prepared to sue in an effort to overturn laws that now prohibit the sale of ammunition magazines holding more than 15 rounds and require background checks for all private gun sales. Weld County Sheriff John Cook said Tuesday some sheriffs oppose legal action, and an association that lobbies for sheriffs has decided not to take part. Delta County's Sheriff Fred McKee spoke with KVNF's Marty Derlin about the proposed lawsuit.
Last week, Sheriff Fred McKee stood with the Delta County Commissioners to reaffirm a commitment to the Second Amendment. This week, he's part of a group of sheriffs seeking to overturn recently passed gun restrictions in Colorado.
We've been working with an attorney that represents the Independent Institute, which is a think format for conservative issues in Colorado. They've agreed to provide an attorney pro bono to sheriffs that want to join this effort to challenge the constitutionality of the magazine ban and the universal background check statutes that was recently signed into law. So there's about 35 sheriffs that have currently agreed to be plaintiffs in this lawsuit, and we're hoping that eventually that we'll have over 40, maybe 45, by when we get everybody fully briefed on what the lawsuit's about and what our challenge is going to represent.
The Second Amendment and perhaps the 14th Amendment will be the basis of the suit.
Many of us county sheriffs feel very strongly about this issue. We believe there are some things that we can do that would make a difference. We just strongly believe that these laws, this legislation, does absolutely nothing to decrease violence in our state and our communities. They're just unsound, bad legislation. And we feel like we put some proposals on the table that were very sound, and they were not carried forward, such as mandatory sentencing, wording in law that does not allow for plea bargaining for anybody that commits a crime while in possession of a firearm. So there, we believe that would a much better deterrent would be dealing with the criminals instead of infringing upon lawful gun ownership.
McKee says other groups may join the suit, including the NRA, a Disabled Shooters Association, several women's firearms groups, a state shooting association, the gun manufacturer Magpul, the Federal Firearms Licensing Dealership Association, and some sporting and outfitters associations. For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
Drought can be tough on wildlife. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that this year, deer are particularly vulnerable. Darby Finley, terrestrial biologist for Colorado Parks and Wildlife in Meeker, says the lack of sufficient moisture means sagebrush and other plants don't have the new growth that deer depend on to get them through the winter. Winter range deer depend on first-year leaders of new growth in shrubs, and Finley said if they aren't available, the deer start chewing the second-year growth, which is less nutritious. Plus, older deer will outcompete younger deer for the available food, and elk also compete for the forage. Says Finley, all that makes it tough for deer numbers to rebound. Delta County athletes set four records Saturday at the annual Frank Woodburn Invitational Track and Field Meet in Grand Junction. KVNF's Tammy Meck has more on that and catches us up with local baseball action, including a Paonia doubleheader that doubled as a fundraiser. Is that a double doubleheader? Well, let's hear.
Cedar Ridge's Reed Gates cleared 6 feet 8 inches to claim the meet record in the high jump and sailed 21 feet 9 1/4 inches to reset the record in the long jump. Teammate Austin Williams fell short of a meet record in the shot put, but jumped to the top of the 3A state rankings in the event with a winning throw of 51 feet 2 inches. Hotchkiss's Jenny Solis claimed the meet record in the 800 meter with a time of 2:14.75. Her record-setting time is also the best in the state in all classes this season and the 27th best time in the nation in high school competition. Solis already held the meet record in the 400. Paonia sophomore Morgan Hardigan ensured a trip to state in the shot put with a record-breaking throw of 38 feet 2 1/4 inches. The Paonia girls team took the gold in four events and scored 109 points to win the women's team title. We're at the midway point in the baseball season. Montrose remains undefeated and in first place in 5A-4A Southwestern League standings. They host Montezuma Cortez tomorrow at 4 and Durango on Saturday at 12:30. Delta is 8-2 overall and 4-1 in 4A Western Slope League standings following a 21-7 win Tuesday over Steamboat Springs. Game 2 of that doubleheader was postponed due to weather. The Panthers host Eagle Valley today at 4 p.m. In 2A Western Slope League action, Hotchkiss is now 4-2 after sweeping a doubleheader Saturday against Rangeley. Devin Roop was 2-for-4 with 2 RBIs and a triple in the Bulldogs' 10-2 win in Game 1. And Russ Evans was 3-for-5 with 3 RBIs in the Bulldogs' 14-4 win in Game 2. Hotchkiss held Rangeley to 4 hits for the series. Paonia remains undefeated in the WSL after sweeping a twin bill over Meeker Saturday. Tyler Kendall hit a solo home run, and Joel Seminer drove in a walk-off grand slam homer in the Eagles' 14-4 win in Game 2. Paonia and Hotchkiss will play the second of 2 league doubleheaders this Saturday at Hotchkiss, starting at 11. Paonia also won 2 conference games on March 30th over Rangeley. It was a special day for 7th-grade baseball player Slater Podgorny, who warmed up with the Eagles, threw the opening pitch, and was the team's bat boy. For Slater, the day was about more than baseball.
It's a fundraiser to support my dad, who was diagnosed with ALS, Gehrig's disease, a few years ago. So, yeah.
Greg Podgorny is well known for his wit, sense of humor, and knowledge of rock and roll. He's also a former college baseball player in his home state of Illinois. Greg coached Slater's Little League teams for many years, including the TC Drillers traveling team and the North Fork Eagles Triple Crown team. Slater was shortstop and second baseman on both teams. Greg is no longer able to coach, but he still goes to all of Slater's games. Paonia High School teachers Tracy Campbell and Gingy Malachek helped put the fundraiser together. Malachek explains how the event came about.
It really started with the teacher sitting at lunch, and I was talking to Mr. Potter, who's our baseball coach and our social studies teacher, and he had just met Slater, who's Greg's son, and I was telling him what a great baseball player Slater was, and Potter really came up with the idea, like, hey, we should do a fundraiser.
Between gate fees, a bake sale, and a beanbag toss, the event raised $1,230 for the Podgorny family, which will go toward medical expenses not covered by insurance. The Kids Pasta Project will host a fundraiser, silent auction, and dinner for the family on May 27th at Scenic Mesa Ranch. For details and to learn more about the Podgorny family, visit gregpodgorny.org. For KVNF News, I'm Tammy Meck.
Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good morning.